There's nothing better than worshiping God and then singing of those songs where it speaks of graves to gardens. I just want you to know, as I took my prayer walk this morning, I was walking around Hudson, and I came past the front of the church with the flower beds, and the tulips are blooming, and the bright colors are just so beautiful. And I want you to know that's what God did. He took that barren ground that each one of us were in, and then he brought us into a place where color, where beauty, where his majesty now is able to be expressed through us. And this morning, you know, as we live to be the very expression of the Lord Jesus Christ, we live to be that expression. Our hearts are to express the goodness of God, of the mercy of God. Our desire, our delight is to express the word of God lived out through all the areas that we walk in. As our worship team did this morning, living out the expression of the gifts that God has given them. And you know, I just want to say thank you for those that can sing. And they drowned out my voice. I'm very grateful. Thank you for the musicians that have worked hard. They've given their time and their efforts for one purpose, that the expression of the love of God would be magnified through their gifts and talents. So thank you, guys and girls, for giving the Lord your first fruits, giving him that which he has given you, just returning it back to him, and for changing people's lives. We're so thankful this morning. You know, last week we talked about we're living in a moment. It's a moment that we're passing through. This isn't forever. This is only a moment. And I just want to build on that. And actually, today's title would be called Building in the Moment. Because so many people are waiting for the moment to end. But I believe that God wants to do many things in our lives in this moment, as we have shared before. And you know, I'm reminded as earlier this weekend was the draft that for the NFL. And one of the things that they always say that in the draft or with a team, and that is you build in the trenches. You build from that front line, whether it's a center guards, tackles, or whatever, and prayerfully the Jets got somebody that can help with that front line because it was terrible last year. All right, but we always build in the trenches. And in the trenches, that was the time before this moment. You know, we've encouraged everyone. Look at the time that we're walking through. And we build from the trenches. We build, and long before this moment, we've encouraged you to stay in the Word of God and stay there and agree with the Word of God and everything. We've encouraged everyone to get into prayer and build up that life of prayer that is immovable. It doesn't change. It doesn't go away because something, some moment that we're walking through in our lives. So when we build in the trenches, when we're studying the Word of God for ourselves, and we start to make it part of who we are, that keeps us in the midst of these kind of times. Because what we do is we go back to what we know and who we actually are, rather than all the other noise that's going on out here. And we know there's a lot of noise that happens out there. But I want you to agree with me that this Sunday, I want to say to you, happy Resurrection Sunday. Because every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday, we're reminded of the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Every Sunday, we're reminded that it was the cross where that blood ran, the death, but then it was the resurrection. And even though we go through different times, and he is alive, and we're forgiven, and the wonderful thing about our God is he's alive forevermore. And therefore, he walks alongside of us, he keeps us, he teaches us, he shows us, he strengthens us, and he brings us to a place of victory, no matter what it looks like. If you have your Bibles, open up to Hebrews chapter 10 as we talk about building in the moment. And there's one thing that I believe the scripture, you know, especially in this time, in this season that we're in. In Hebrews 10 and verse 35, we're going to start there. It says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance. So tell somebody sitting next to you in your house, say, you have need of endurance, all right? So that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. There's no better news than that on the planet right now. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those. 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 We're not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. We're those who walk by faith. Other places, Paul states in Colossians 1:11, he said, we are strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously. And then he says in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in well-doing. He's talking about that endurance that God wants us to walk in, especially now as things have gone past a 2-week mark or a 1-month mark. Some people start looking around and now is when we need the endurance. The sprint is over. Things still aren't open. Now it's time for endurance. And that endurance brings us back to the Word of God. That endurance brings us back to, like we said, building in the trenches, going back into that place of prayer. And as we shared, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, that when you step into your prayer room, all the walls disappear and you step into a spiritual dimension where there's no walls. And as you start to pray, you start to see things manifest everywhere that you're praying. And then you write them down and you go back in, and we don't start over from scratch. We go back in and we start to agree with what we have already planted, the seeds that are planted. We watched the darkness just melt out of people's hearts before us. We start to see the dead raise. We start to watch the investment that God is making, not only in the people's lives, but even in the natural, whether it's a building for the food pantry or a building for men that are struggling that we need, whatever these things are, you start to see that and start to speak about it. We have to get away from, to a certain degree, God already knows what we need when we ask. Amen. And so we have to get away from just going in there and speaking about ourselves. We've got to start to speak to those dry bones and cause them to walk again. Because I believe the authority of God's word, when we step into that place, God has the authority. And as we start to speak that authority, we're going to start to see the dry bones rise again. We're going to see those things that we have proclaimed come to fruition in each one of our lives. You know, and then in the NIV, in James 1:12, I love the way that it says it. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. You don't know if you've got any perseverance until you get a trial. You don't know if you're able to persevere, if your faith is strong, until you have a trial. You know, when we first got saved, God seemed to answer everything that we asked constantly over and over and over again. And then he said, okay, now I need you to grow up a little bit more. And we're so thankful for that. And it goes on to say, because when he has stood the test, he'll receive the crown of life. And God has promised, that God has promised to those who love him. And the love of God, it compels us to stay enduring through every trial and every test. And it teaches us how powerful the love of God is. Because we have watched the love of God overwhelm us in other times of our lives. And my prayer is that the love of God would overwhelm us now. The love of God would overwhelm to such a degree that we don't have any thoughts of where we are in the natural as far as being confined to a certain degree. But that we would have an open window to heaven and an open window to all that he has called us to accomplish now, in this time and in this season. And then also in Luke chapter 21 and verse 19, in the NIV again, I love the way it says, by standing firm, you will gain life. And I believe that other people feel like they're losing their freedom that they have to go out, walk around, whatever it is. But I believe that, as the word says in NIV there, it says, by standing firm, you'll have life. By standing on the word of God, you're going to enjoy this moment. By staying in prayer or staying in there, standing, enduring in that, there's going to be life that comes from every area around you. There's going to become life prayerfully in your finances, life prayerfully in your family, life prayerfully in all these different areas, those that you work with maybe or you haven't seen for a while. Because when we're in the Word, we're in prayer, the Holy Spirit starts to speak to us and He wants us to build into someone else's life. Or we're going to be overwhelmed like the world does because we're in this world, but we're not of it. Become overwhelmed by what we can't do, what we don't have, where we can't go. All of these things, they start to consume. But the Bible tells us that we need to have endurance in what He's called us to do. And so today I want to look at a couple of people that have gone through things like this in the Scriptures. And we know there's many, but we're just going to take a look at three. And before I start on that, 2 Thessalonians, which I don't think I gave Elijah, you might not see it on your screen, 2:2, Paul tells them that that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed by a spirit or a measure of a letter as from us. And obviously they were talking about the coming of the Lord. But I want you to know, we've got to be careful that we're not quickly shaken either. Some people have been quickly shaken. You can hear the meltdown. You can see where they get off. And Christians getting away from the Word and prayer, getting caught up in whatever is going on in the government, whatever people have to say as far as the leaders of this country, and they start arguing about it, and they spend hours arguing about it. I was blessed to be able to stop down by the high rise. I took my prayer walk yesterday around Hudson. It was a beautiful day. Went down by the river just to watch the geese and the ducks and the guys out there putting the docks in for the boat club, and hopefully they were allowed to, and I'm not spreading things that I was supposed to say. But and then the barges coming down the river, and the guys out there striper fishing, and watching life happen. And what an amazing day! And then as I walked up, I came by the high rise, and one of the ladies yelled, "Hey, Pastor!" So I got to go over there and just encourage them for a little bit, encourage them to stay. They said, and they were complaining about what was going on, what they couldn't do. Can I tell you, this is a time where God wants us to do what He's called us to do. This is a time where we're to build up ourselves in the most holy faith. And in faith, I don't have to be outside or inside. I don't have to be asleep or awake. I can build myself up in the most holy faith no matter where I am, no matter what's going on around me, no matter what time of day it is. I can build myself up. And I really believe we got to be careful that you're not quickly shaken and you get your composure back on one thing that God has, just one thing. One thing, the call of God on your life. And back on Hebrews 10:39, you know, but we are not of those who shrink back. This is where we gain. Where others are feeling like they have lost, this is where we gain. We gain insight into the Word of God. We gain understanding through the Spirit of God. We gain words of wisdom and words of knowledge. We gain in such a way that the Holy Spirit starts to speak not only things into our own personal lives. Maybe every one of us have something that we still need to lay down. Amen? Something that God still is trying to root out. Every one of us are. There's still something that's holding back the fullness of God being expressed through each one of our lives. Can we all agree on that? And I believe that this is a time where we need to press in and say, Father, what is it? Take a spiritual inventory of our own lives so that many more are set free by our freedom. And persevering, it doesn't mean just to try to fight through. It actually, one definition, it means to gain. So when you persevere, you actually gain. You grow from it. You receive from it. One of the things that we need to persevere in is giving, whether it's kind words or whether it's something out of our pocket. When the rest of the world is drawing back, we need to be those that reach into our pocket, pull out something and give it to someone else that's in need. Maybe it's not a lot, but a little. But if you persevere, listen, He gives seed to the sower, and we say that. But when you persevere in giving, that tithe is like that, you know, plowing the ground. And then everything above that is like the seed that you're planting in it. And I just want to encourage you, don't draw back from anything. See, we're those that don't draw back on the perdition. We don't gather just unto ourselves, but we take who we are and we utilize it for the kingdom of God. And so, you know, as we look at a couple of the men in the Scriptures that we have seen, number one, just talking about Joseph, which we all know very well. You know, he was in a pit, and then when his brother threw him in a pit, that's a little bit more of a drastic isolation, I think, than what we're suffering through. Can we all agree on that? Right? And now not only is he thrown in a pit, and some people complain about being in their house, which we understand, everybody gets tired of being inside the four walls. I'm not making light of that. But he lost his whole family. Here was his brothers threw him into the pit. No father, no mother, no brothers, no sisters, nothing. Only the clothes on his back. And then after that time of isolation, or in that time of isolation, we don't read in the scriptures where Joseph complained, and then he was sold into slavery. And what happens when he goes to Potiphar's house as he's sold into slavery? He excels. He excels in Potiphar's house as a slave. As someone who is being bought in the marketplace, he's a slave to Potiphar. What does Potiphar do? Why? Because of his attitude? Because he wasn't one that shrunk back. He wasn't one that drew back. He wasn't one that we hear complaining. I mean, he's one of my heroes of faith anyway. Because you never hear Joseph complaining in all that he went through. You don't hear that. And I know I've shared that before, but the thought of he excelled in slavery to the point where Potiphar turned everything over to his house. And then, of course, Potiphar, his wife falsely accuses him. And then he gets thrown into prison. And as he goes into prison, he excels again. Talk about being quarantined. Talk about all of your freedoms disappearing. Talk about everything. Now, here you get thrown in a pit. You make it out of there. You get sold into slavery. Hey, I'm in Potiphar's house. At least I have clothes. I got a place to sleep. I'm serving here. He's turned everything in his house over to me. Now I get thrown in prison. Everything's stripped away again. So this is like one virus after another virus after another virus in reality of what he's going through in his life. And each time he excels, because then he becomes one that runs the jail while he's in there. And he excels to the point, and this is where we know that he spent time with the Lord. And this is what I want to encourage you in. In this time that we're quarantined, whether we're reading or whether we're praying, I want to encourage you to journal. But as he was, God was speaking to him constantly. He still kept an intimate relationship with the king. And I really believe that's what this time is about. It really is about getting more intimate with the king. To the point where the baker and the wine tester, or taster, they sat with him. They got thrown in jail, and he was able to hear from God so correctly, so succinct, so definitive over these men's lives. Can I just tell you, I believe that God wants each and every one of us in here to get a word for someone else. I believe he's got a word for you from someone else or for someone else. But I believe that as we spend time with him, we're going to hear clearly when the question is asked how to give the right answer. Rather than looking at it as a time of drawing back like so many have, we're those that press in. We're those that look at it and say, no, I'm pressing into the word. I'm pressing into prayer. I'm pressing into all that God has called me, because I believe that I'm going to come out with a word for the baker. I'm going to come out with a word for the wine taster, for the king. And I believe that there's something bigger that God has for everyone out there. I believe he wants to take you. When we know Joseph's story, that he takes him and he becomes second in all of Egypt. Second in command, oversees it all, the whole lap of luxury now he's in the middle of. And then obviously his brothers come and they come for food. And I love the part where Joseph, where he meets his brothers, and his brothers are petrified of him for what they have done. And I love what Joseph said. He said, do not be afraid, for I am in God's place. And I want everybody to know this morning, you're in God's place. So we learn from Joseph how he stayed intimate, and God still used him in the midst of a time where he was quarantined three different times, and he had to work his way through it. And again, those are moments in his life. This is a moment in our life that God is taking us through. But how are we going to build in the midst of this? Let's build like Joseph did, where we don't complain. Tell somebody in your house, stop complaining right now. Tell somebody else in your house, say, I don't want to hear it anymore. This is where we take the word of God and we build into each other's lives with the word of God rather than fight and argue and complain about the things that are going on outside. Look at, we're the answer for them. We're not them that draw back unto perdition. That's what the world does. They draw back. But we're those that press in to faith, and we have the words that bring life and life more abundantly in every situation. There's no place that you go where you shouldn't have the words of life. Why? Because we've got time to spend with the Father even more. But are we using it properly? You know, maybe you do feel surrounded this morning. Well, I think we need to sing that song, right? It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And I really feel that if we'll get that mindset, when you look at the walls and they seem like they're closing in, that we just start to get that understanding. No, I'm surrounded by you. And when you're surrounded by God, nothing is impossible. When you're surrounded by God, then he allows visions and dreams, thoughts just to well up on the inside of you. And then what he's looking for is his sons and daughters to do one thing, act in obedience to what he speaks to each one of us. It's just an act of obedience. When that wells up on the inside, maybe he's saying to you, look, you need to lay down that one desire that you had because it's distracting you from what I've called you to do. Maybe you've got a plan in your mind of where you want to be in 10 years, but it's not the plan that God has. And God is asking you, say, listen, can you lay that down? Because I need you to touch a whole lot more people than the couple that you have touched. Maybe it's a thought process that you're saying, look at Lord, I've been hanging on to this. This is where I feel safe, comfortable, whatever it is. But the Lord is saying, hey, listen, I want to take that thought process from you. I want to take the thought process and I want you to lay it down because you can't get rid of it. I can take it from you, but you can't get rid of it. Maybe it's something that you possess that God said, hey, listen, I need you to sow that. I don't know what it is that God wants to work on with you right now, but I know that what he's doing is he's peeling away each part of our lives that would distract us from all that he has. And he wants to do it. I feel like we're sort of in a pressure cooker right now. I feel like we're in a pressure cooker a little bit where God says, listen, there's a big work coming. There's a whole lot coming that I need a lot of people. So I know we've been going along in this rowboat sort of style, but now I put a motor on the back. We're going to crunch things down a little bit. We're going to squeeze things a little bit here because I need you to let go of a lot in a small part of, in a short piece part of time because of what's coming into the kingdom of God. And I need more workers. I need more people who say, I've had enough. None of that stuff satisfies. We've got every electronic gizmo there is in the world in our homes right now. You know how I know that? Because you can't buy a little camera that goes on your laptop or on your, not on your laptop, but on your desktop. You can't buy them. They're every gadget. I walked into Walmart because one of my cords frayed at the end and it didn't charge anymore. I'm looking there, the rack is empty. Every electronic gizmo that's out there, we have, which connects us to the whole world with inside the cubicles. Now, we're the kind of people, well, we are, people are, we need one another. It was someone that I gave a hug to the other day. They're like, and they just hung on. I just needed a hug. I just needed a hug. It was like, wonderful. That's who we are. We're passionate people. We're compassionate people. We're this kind of people. In this time, it's we've got to hold off on a lot of that. But I want to encourage you that as you're pressing in, I believe that it's a little bit of a pressure cooker time. God wants to get rid of a lot out of our lives. And he wants to fill us up with a lot of the Spirit of God right now. He wants our mind to be fixed on him. He wants our hearts to be healed in the midst of just sitting with him as he speaks to us so clearly. He wants the desires that we have, the things that we put our hands to. He wants us to rethink each and every aspect of it. And right now we have an opportunity because a lot of the things we can't do. And that's because of the plan and the purpose of God. The second person I want to look at is the Apostle Paul. Obviously, Paul lived out Romans 8:28, right? That for those who love God, all things work together for the good because of the call on our lives. We're called according to his purpose. And Paul lived that out. And, you know, when Paul had been in prison, and the scholars, and according to the word of God, they figure he was in prison for maybe up to 6 years. That's some confinement, isn't it? And you know, it's not like the prisons that our guys are in. There was no gym. There was no nice cot. There was no library that they could go and they could study to see how they can argue against the case that was brought against. Whatever it was, it's not like our prison system. Some of them, he was chained to a wall. And some of the most amazing books that were written, whether it was Ephesians or Philippians, Colossians or Philemon, all of those are the prison epistles that were written when he was in chains, when he was in shackles. Sometimes, you know, they allowed his friends to come and visit him, but other times he was by himself. And we read in the scriptures quite clearly how he would worship. He would worship his God chained to a wall. He would worship at midnight. He would cry out how wonderful his God is. And as we build in this moment, I want to encourage you that no matter what time it is, when you're home, it's a time of worship. Now, sometimes we worship God through prayer. Sometimes we worship him by reading his word. And sometimes we worship him in song. Sometimes we worship him by the way that we're encouraging others and building in others' lives. But this is a time of building in the moment. And that's what we saw Paul did. His foundation was solid. He said, I'm not drawing back. Okay, God threw me in prison, but I'm not drawing back. I'm not going to complain about everything that's going on around my life. I'm going to build my life on prayer. And he said, can you get me a pen and a piece of parchment? And he starts to write words. You know, and I don't know if it was on during the week when we talked about it, myself and Pastor Romano, but the words that Paul wrote while he was in prison, as long as the world spins on its axes, people's lives are going to be changed by what he wrote when he was in bondage, in man's idea of being in prison. Paul was as free on the inside as he was on the outside. But his words will never stop changing people's lives. And they were written what man would say in the lowest times of his life. I don't know if he would consider that the lowest part of his life, being in prison. Maybe the 39 stripes several times, maybe that was a little bit lower than just being chained to a wall in prison. But I want you to see that even in the midst of the worst situation, men and women of God have always made a decision. Did we build in the trenches? Did I build my life on prayer? Did I build my life on the word? Did I build my life in sowing so that when the time came, I wasn't moved? We're not those that are quickly shaken. Maybe this morning you've been shaken. Maybe there's a thought in your mind that you've had it. And listen, I've heard people. I was listening to some people the other day when I was out on the street. And they'd had it. This is ridiculous. I'm sick of this. I'm done. And all they did was complain about where they're at. Well, we are Americans, and no matter how good it is, we find a way to complain about something, don't we? This is a time, though, that I believe that God wants to draw us back into himself. He wants us to take that step that we're in this moment and to press in and to start to light up our houses with worship, light up our houses with prayer. I know my bride has been on Zoom with some of the other ladies in prayer. Some of them called and said, hey, can we just spend some time in prayer? Not in the same house, not in the same place, just on a screen. My prayer is that everyone that sees this, set up a prayer time. Set up a prayer time, because you're going to pray with people that we don't even know, that we've never even seen before. Set up a time to press in and agree with God. Even though we're in this moment, we're still free in Jesus Christ. And God is looking to see if we have endurance through it all. And this is where we build it. We build our endurance in the midst of this moment. Oh man. We don't see Paul complaining, but as he wrote in Colossians 1, verses 24 to 25, he said, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And I really want you to hear that. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. I rejoice in my sufferings. Whatever I'm going through, I know it's for someone else whose life is going to be changed by what God is working in me. And he goes on to say, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body. Once again, he's filling himself up for the sake of the body. That is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. There it is. Everything, all of my suffering, I still have this one thought in mind. The church needs to make sure that the word of God is fully known. You know, no matter what we walk through, no matter where we are, no matter what time it is, it's always about making the word of God fully known to those that are around us. Some have never heard. Some have never heard. And it's amazing how God puts us in different positions through these times when we meet people we would have never met before. Right? We meet people that would never, I meet some people that are out there struggling because they're out there walking. They're out there walking, and it's amazing how their heads are going like this. They don't want to look at anybody. They're walking down the street. They look down. They look off. If I come up this side, they look off to the right. And I still say, hey, good morning. God bless you. Hey, have a blessed day. I don't care if they're looking at me. I don't care what they look like, where they come from. I'm still going to encourage them in the Lord. And regardless of how they share their affinity towards me back, it usually isn't in the same light. Because when fear comes in, but we're not those that draw back into fear. We're those that walk out in faith. And every time that we speak his words, someone else's life always changes. You know, as, you know, Paul, his words continually go forth, changing people's lives. I'm really believing God that the words that he's speaking to you are going to change people's lives. I would ask you that, you know, in this time, to write down the words that God has given you. Ask him for words for someone else. You've got enough of them. They're all here. You've got plenty of words that the God has spoken over your life. He speaks them over and over and over again every time we open up this wonderful word, and it changes our lives. But I want to encourage you, pray for a word for someone else that's going to allow them to see that the Father has never forgotten them. He always thinks about them. He's always had the same plan for them, that none perish but all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the last person I want to talk about today is John. of course, we all love John because Jesus loved John, apparently, according to John. And John, at the end of his life, he was on the island of Patmos, which we know. We've heard it. He wrote the book of Revelation in Patmos. And that island was really a volcanic island. No trees. Not like, in South Asia there. It was just off, I think it was about 20 miles off of Turkey, which is what we call Turkey today. And the island reminds me, as I was reading about it, reminds me of Guam. Because Guam was 8 miles wide and 30 miles long. And the island of Patmos was 6 miles wide and I think it was 30 miles long also. But Guam was loaded with palm trees and beautiful sandy beaches and shrubbery everywhere. And, you know, even though I felt like I was quarantined on an island by the U.S. Air Force, I had never heard of Guam. And when I joined and they told me I was going to Guam, I said, what state is that in? And this lady lieutenant, she says, oh, that's in the state of Washington, I believe. And so that was my beginning of understanding where Guam was. And I couldn't find it in the state of Washington, but I thought it was good fishing and good hunting. That'd be all right. And then I got to Guam. And after, you know, at first you get there and everything is new. Of course, the speed limit on the whole island was 35. John wasn't afforded that. but we would drive from one end of the island to the other, and it would still take us an hour and a half because you can only go 35 miles an hour. And by the time with traffic and red lights and all of that stuff. But I remember after about the third month of going to the beach every weekend, playing volleyball every weekend, you know, playing baseball. We went from baseball, slow pitch softball, to fast pitch, to football. It was just, you know, every day round and round. It was the same thing. And it was what everybody thought was going to be amazing. And it was for a short time. It was for only a short time. And after about 3 months, we all said, we're tired of the rock. We want to get off of this rock. And thank God the Lord sent me TDY to the Philippines and Okinawa and all of that stuff. But I remember how quarantined we felt, or how claustrophobic we felt on an entire island. And the funny thing was that after I left Guam a year and a half later, for the last time, when I got sent to Mississippi, not knowing that that was going to be one of the greatest places in the world to me, where I would meet my bride. And well, first I would meet the Lord, and then I would also meet my bride, and God would change my life completely in a matter of moments with Him. But we got to Guam, and after about, I mean, to Mississippi, and after about 6 months in Biloxi, we were like, man, Guam was a much better assignment than Biloxi is. And the reason was, it wasn't because of the island, it wasn't because of the sand, it wasn't because of the palm trees. It was because nobody had any family. And so we became a tight-knit family, and we really drew close to friends. Because me and my roommate, I mean, we played softball together, slow pitch, fast pitch, football. We would go bowling. We'd go fishing together, deep sea fishing, whatever it was, pig hunting out in the jungle. Whatever we did, we became close with a small amount of men. And man, I'll tell you, I still talk to those guys these days. I got one from Hoagie out in California. You know, his handle is Storm Chaser. That's what we did. We chased typhoons or hurricanes wherever they were. But I realized that time on Guam was very precious, even though in the midst of it, I just wanted off the rock. And I believe that this time, if we think about and we continually press into prayer and press into the time in the Word, I believe that we're going to look back at this time and say, you know what? I want to tell you what God did in one of the times where the world seemed to come to a stop. I want to show you what God did in my life. I want you to hear how He changed my heart, how He prepared me for that next step that He had for me. Like John. Here's John. Listen, John's on the rock. He's on Patmos. It's a place where they send slaves to do labor and prayerfully die there in their eyes. That's just where men go to die. John has the pen and the parchment. This is the disciple that Jesus loved. It's the one that He loved. It's the one that put His head on Jesus' breast. Please, please don't think that because you're going through this, that it's somehow God doesn't love you anymore. It's not true. Don't think for a moment that because you're going through this, now you've been cast aside. It's not true. Every man or woman of God goes through seasons or moments in their lives, and they walk through it. And I believe that what God is showing us in this, that we are loved and God is preparing us, and He needs our full attention right now. He needs our full attention for what's to come. He needs our full attention in order to let go of some things that we've been grabbing a hold of. Maybe there's some worldly plans and purposes that God has, and it leaves out those that have never heard the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, maybe it's a desire, whatever it is. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, so we know the focus of Revelation, you know, which God gave Him to show to His bondservants the things which must soon take place. And I believe that that's what God wants to do in each one of us. You know, maybe it's not going to be the apocalyptic thought process of John, as some of them call the book of Revelation. But I believe that it's a word that He has for you, for your life. I believe He's got some words through you for other lives. Things that are to soon take place. I believe that's where the church is supposed to be. We're supposed to be the ones that are pointing the way. Amen? We're supposed to be the ones that tell the world, hey, wait a minute, follow us as we follow Christ, because we know what God is about to do. We've heard, and this is what's coming. This is what we want you prepared for in your heart. This is because we know that He said in Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 20, He says, He who testifies of these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. And we know that Jesus is coming back. We know that's the big picture. But I believe that there's some smaller pictures that God wants to utilize us in the midst of, no different than he did for John. And he said, look, I need you to write down some things that are to soon take place. And it goes on and it says, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John. I believe he wants to send it to the bondservants that are here. I believe that every single person that hears this and knows Jesus Christ, you're a bondservant of the Lord. And I believe that he wants to speak directly to you. He wants to speak to others about you. We have prophets that come through the church at times. We have other men that come in and prophesy over people in the church. And I love it. I love when we have our friends and family members come and they start to prophesy the word of God over people's lives. And it rocks their world because they hear how God knows them intimately. But I believe that he wants every one of his bondservants speaking words into someone else's life. I believe every one of us can hear the voice of God and are able to bring life into the darkest situation. The Bible says that we're salt and light. And I believe that we are the lights of the world. He's the light of the world. But I believe that we're those lights of the world. That in this time, and I really want to encourage you, he was on an island 6 miles by 30 miles off of Turkey, on a rock, volcanic rock, not comfortable, not trees, not bushes, not beautiful flowers. And yet you don't hear John complaining about being on the rock. I did. I wasn't even saved. I was complaining about a beautiful place, a paradise that some people talked about. Because when we were on Guam, a lot of people from Hawaii were moving off of Hawaii and moving to Guam because it was more of the villages and it was more of the old way before Hawaii got all built up. And now Guam is built up with high rises and everything else, which were never there. And these amazing hotels and stuff, which weren't there when we were there back in the early 80s. But, you know, John looked at things differently, and I believe that as the body of Christ, we need to look at things differently also. In chapter 1 and verse 9, he said, I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom, in the tribulation and kingdom, and perseverance which are in Jesus. See, once again, here's the last book of the scriptures, the canonized scripture. Here's the last one. And John's saying, I, John, your brother and fellow partaker. He's saying, look, anyone that is in Christ, we're in this together. We're building this together. We're making this walk or this journey called life together. And as we're walking in this life together, I believe that God wants to use each one of us the way that he's used Joseph, the way that he's used Paul, the way that he has used John, whatever it is, and many others. I wonder how isolated Esther felt when she was in the castle and couldn't even come to her husband to share what was going on. She had to take a chance. She felt by herself. She could only talk to her Uncle Mordecai. And she was isolated in there, in her own mind, saying, I might die in the midst of this. I wonder what kind of pressure she was under in her own heart as she walked through those days. But John goes on to say, you know, he was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. He was placed there. Why? Because he believed in the kingdom of God and because he preached that Jesus Christ was the only way. So he wasn't put there for any other reason except proclaiming Jesus Christ. John, speaking of the things to come, prepare our hearts for battle. John already told us what was coming. We already know what's happening. We know that time isn't right now because we know that the one who is doing, going to do the false miracles and that kind of stuff and proclaim himself as God, he hasn't seated yet. So we know we're not there yet. We know we're in that timeline of coming towards the end. He's going to place himself above everyone else, the scripture says. We're not there. But John, in his preparation time, see, he wanted us to be encouraged and he wanted us to have endurance all the way through the end. He said, look, you're going to need endurance. But you know it's not the end until these things start to happen. John prepares us to speak the things to come. And John prepares us not to be overcome by whatever situation we're in. So building on this moment. I believe that as we look at just a few, and I know there's others. I mean, Noah was isolated. Can we all agree on that? Noah was quite isolated. All right. And we know some guys are struggling being in their homes with their wives. Well, Noah, he was on a boat for a long time. It was more than 40 days. I think it was 125 days that he was on that boat. And so talk about extreme isolation. But we're those that have endurance. We're those that have love and mercy and grace. We're those that walk through it, preparing ourselves in the midst of it in order to expand the kingdom all the way through and then after, because I believe that God is speaking things to each one of us and wants to, of the things that are to come. There's things coming that He wants His body to be prepared for. There's things that are coming that you're going to have the words of life for. There's things that are coming that you're going to be the light that leads people out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so this morning, as we prepare, or we're building in the midst of the moment, building ourselves up, the scripture says, in the most holy faith, not allowing the thoughts of the world, not allowing the foolishness of the world, not allowing the arguments of the world, not allowing the cares of the world to dominate us, but to step in and say, follow me as I follow Christ. Come on, I want to tell you about the things that are to come. And as we read the Word of God, we see the things that are coming. Oh, and as John said, Jesus said, yes, I am coming, and I'm coming quickly. Ah, what a reason to get prepared. That the Son of the living God, we don't know what day or that hour is, but He is coming. And to be ready, like those virgins that have trimmed their wicks and filled their lanterns with oil. Not those that are just wasting time, but we're preparing. And we're saying, hey, listen, He's coming. He's coming. This is what you need to prepare to get ready. So as we close in prayer this morning, I want to encourage you, as you build for the moment, it's a time of building. It's not a time of drawing back, as Paul said in Hebrews. It's not a time to draw back under perdition or to check out, but it's a time to press in. We are not of those. That is not who we are in the kingdom of God. We are not of those, Hebrews says, who draw back. We're those who press in. Love, mercy, grace, faith, patience, all of these things. Allow the Spirit of God and the gift of the Spirit. Allow those things to have its work inside of each and every one of us as we press on. And then draw those who are struggling. Don't get caught up in the conversations, but you lead by asking questions about eternity, asking questions about the power of the blood of Christ, asking questions of what they think happens when they die, asking questions. The right question opens up someone's heart, and you're able to see what's going on inside of them. And then you can bring the words that will set the captives free. So if you felt captive, I want you to know you're free right now. And I believe that you're to write some things down, and you're to speak the things that are to come. I believe, and I'm standing on and agreeing that there's going to be prophetic words that are coming forth from people that have never prophesied before. So if you've never written down a prophetic word before, write it down. I believe that God wants you to see that He loves you. He wants to speak to you if you would sit and take time with Him. Well, let's close in prayer this morning. And again, you know, we never want to miss an opportunity to tell people that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never received Him as your Lord and Savior, He said, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. And there is no other name. I know there's a lot of other names that people throw around out there. There's many other religions, but there's only one truth. And His name is Jesus Christ. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is our lives. So if you never have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you this morning. All you have to do is say, Father, forgive me of my sins. I repent, therefore I'm turning away from that old lifestyle, and I want you to be my Lord and Savior. From now on, I want to surrender my life to your leading through your word and your Holy Spirit. And then as we start to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, if you believe, you shall be saved. And in that belief means now I'm going to walk according to the word of God. And so if you need information on that, you can call the church at 518-828-2444. And we can get you more information, help you grow in the things of God. We've got things that we can send you online or whatever you need. Because the only thing that we want to do is we want to build each other up in the most holy faith. And the church, we believe, according to the scriptures, that it's here for the training and equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. This is part of it. And so if you've never asked him or never prayed before, I pray that today was that day you said, I believe, I'm repenting, I'm turning away from my old lifestyle because it doesn't satisfy, and it never did. All that we did on Guam and around the world, it didn't satisfy. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that came and washes and cleanses all the areas of our lives. It cleanses all the sin out of our lives. And then it was about learning the word of God and living a different life. You know how glorious this life has been. What he has for you is something spectacular. So with that, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the men and women of God. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for this time and season. I thank you for the power of the blood that washes and cleanses. I thank you, Father, for the gift of your spirit that empowers every believer. I thank you, Father, that you have made a way. I thank you, Father, that your provision is enough. Lord, I thank you that when it seems impossible, you come walking in and you say everything is possible for them that believe. Father, today we agree and we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. We believe that there is no God like you. We agree and we believe that the word of God is true. Every word of it is inspired by you. The truth from another world. Lord, today we agree. Our confession is that this is a time to build ourselves up, not draw back, but building ourselves up in the most holy faith in this moment. And Father, we agree that everything has become possible because you are God. We surrender our lives. We surrender our wills. We surrender all of our dreams. We surrender them all, Father. Have your way in our lives. For you're the one that can make something spectacular. As that song said earlier that we sang, from graves to gardens. You're an amazing and a magnificent Father. We love you. We honor you. We proclaim your name above all else, and we give you the glory this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.